Welcome to another episode of Cowboy Smart Money, a podcast provided to enhance the financial strength and resilience of service members in the state of Wyoming. I'm your host, Tech Sergeant Jackie Marshall, and today joining us again is Mr. Glenn Lyons. You all know him. He's the personal financial counselor to the service members in Wyoming. And we also have a special guest here with us today, Captain Clint Holscher. And he is the comptroller for the 153rd Airlift Wing. So welcome and thank you for being here.
Good morning, thank you.
It's great having another show again. And we are talking about the Thrift Savings Plan. People know a lot and they also don't know a lot about this topic. So it's fantastic to have you guys here to talk about
it. Yeah. The Thrift Savings Plan, or otherwise known as the TSP, is probably a buzzword thrown around by a lot of folks, especially employees of the military department. But maybe they don't fully know or understand much about it, so I'm glad we're having this podcast today to have a chance to talk about it and hopefully benefit our members in the military department. So with that, Glenn, I look at you and I ask you the first question today. What is the Thrift Savings Plan, or the TSP?
Well, first of all, thanks for coming today and joining me, Captain Holscher. And thanks for asking that question, because you're right about the buzzword TSP, and it's like so many of the acronyms, and particularly for our new younger service members who may not know what the acronym is. And it does stand for the Thrift Savings Plan. And effectively, it's like a 401k in the civilian world. But for people who are unaware of what that is, it is a defined contribution retirement plan that is made available by the United States government to service members and federal government employees. By defined contribution, what that means is that the contribution that is made to the plan is defined by the service member. And that money goes into effectively mutual funds. They are funds within the Thrift Savings Plan. There are five of those. And those funds will grow over time. And then that money can be accessed after age 59 and a half for retirement purposes. And that can often be very substantial in terms of retirement money.
Right. Many members have 20, 30 plus years careers in the military department. So if you imagine the compounding that might happen by the time they retire, that can be quite the substantial amount.
It's not unusual for me to see between $250 and $500,000, sometimes more, in those accounts.
Wow, that's quite a bit. So Glenn, who can contribute to the TSP program?
Service members can contribute to the Thrift Savings Plan. If you're under the blended retirement system, those contributions are matched up to 5% of base pay. In addition to that, if you're a federal employee, perhaps a federal technician, then you can also contribute to the Thrift Savings Plan on the technician side. And those contributions are matched up to 5% of base pay as well.
And it's important to note that those members that are drill status guardsmen, but also Title 32 federal technicians or Title 5, they'll have two different TSP accounts joined together, but they'll be contributing to their civilian account and also their military account. So they have to make separate elections and separate contribution elections to make those accounts be funded.
That's correct. The military election is made through MyPay, and I believe the civilian election is made through EBIZ. Mm-hmm. on the civilian side. And you make the selection, and then you also indicate, when you make that selection, what percentage of your pay you want to have taken out.
Speaking of contributions, Glenn, the government always kind of has limitations. How much can one contribute to the Thrift Savings Plan on an annual basis?
It's actually a pretty large amount. Again, they'll match up to 5% of base pay. And so a lot of service members and government employees think that that's what they can put in. But in fact, you can put in for 2019 up to $19,000 per per year. And if you're over age 50, there is a catch-up feature that allows you to contribute another $6,000 to it. So that's a total of $25,000 per year that can be contributed to the Thrift Savings Plan.
That's pretty amazing. I might have to bump mine up because I'm a federal employee as well. So I do the same thing. I have a military TSP and a federal. So That's great to know.
Good.
I'm learning a lot here today.
That's good. That's the whole point.
So, Glenn, what is the difference between a TSP and Roth TSP? I hear a lot of people asking about this.
Okay. So there are two types of TSP, and they are traditional. Traditional thrift savings plan is an election that you make that simply means that you make the contribution, and that contribution is not taxed when you make it. The Roth TSP means that the contribution is taxed when you make it. And the difference is significant. The traditional TSP allows you to make contributions and not pay the taxes. But there's always a trade-off, and that trade-off is that with the growth of that traditional TSP and then at distribution, all of those funds are fully taxable. With the Roth Thrift Savings Plan contribution, you do pay the taxes up front immediately, but then all of the growth on that Roth plan is tax-free, and then when it comes out, the entire amount comes out tax-free because those taxes have already been paid. So the difference is significant, and what I would suggest is that you really take a good look at what your tax bracket is now, because potentially it's lower than it's going to be when you take it out in later life. Furthermore, tax rates can go up over time. And finally, you're probably in a better position to pay those taxes while you're working now than you're going to be when you're depending on that income for retirement.
Makes a lot of sense.
Decisions, decisions.
I know, decisions, decisions, exactly.
And again, if you have any questions on that, you know, that's what I'm here for. Please call me and we can set up a one-on-one and take a look at your individual situation rather than just a one-size-fits-all, because one size does not fit all.
Yeah, you bet. In fact, you know, one thing that maybe has a lot of participants scratching their heads over is once they get enrolled in the TSP and they start deciding how much they want to put away each month is, what do I actually put my money towards, or what investments do I elect inside the TSP? So, Glenn, would you mind talking a little bit about what the investment options are inside the Thrift Savings Plan?
That's a great question. I'm glad that you asked, because I find there is a lot of confusion on it. There are five basic funds within the Thrift Savings Plan. They are the G Fund, which stands for Government Fund, the F Fund, which is a fixed interest fund, primarily a bond fund, the C Fund, which is a common stock fund, primarily in large companies. The objective is to match the growth of the S&P 500. The S fund, which stands for small companies, and so that's generally going to be a little more volatile, but it's designed to match the growth of the Russell 2000 index. And then finally, the I fund, which stands for international, and that's going to invest in international companies overseas, primarily in Europe and Eastern Asia.
So how should I invest my money in the TSP?
Good question. And again, one size doesn't fit all. By the way, I did neglect the L funds, which are really a combination of those funds. That stands for lifestyle or life cycle funds. And those life cycle funds are a combination of the G, F, C, S, and I. And they are designed to help people who don't really understand it and don't really want to take the time to understand it any further in depth. And those are based on what age you think that you might retire. But coming back to your question about what you should invest in, again, one size does not fit all. However, if you're early In your planning stages, and if you're fairly young, again, keep in mind that this is a retirement plan and you're not going to have access to that money until you're at least 59 and a half without taxes or penalty, then I generally urge clients to become to be very aggressive. Again, because volatility does not equal risk. Risk means you might not get your money back. We are investing in the American economy with these funds, and even though the market goes up and down, when you go to take this money out 30 years from now, historically the market has always been up and up substantially.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, I've heard you say a couple times 59 and a half. Is that the magic age in which a person can access his or her TSP? Do they have to touch it at that time? Or when I've been saving, I've been putting away, I've been watching these accounts grow, when can I have fun with my money?
Well, 59 and a half is the magic age when you can take that money out without penalties. And if it's a Roth, you can take it out without taxes.
Okay.
Anytime after age 59 and a half. If you do it prior to that magic age, then you will pay taxes on the money. And in addition to that, you will pay a 10% penalty for accessing that money early.
Ouch. So it's costly to try to tap into that early.
Very, very costly. If it's a traditional plan, you can lose 30 to 40% of the money if you access it early by way of a distribution. But after age 59 and a half, if you wanted to take it all out and go buy a new Lamborghini, you could certainly do that. Most people tend to use that money to supplement their income in retirement. And I can talk about retirement income in a future podcast. In fact, that would be a great topic to discuss, would be how do I get retirement income? Because lump sums like you're going to have in your thrift savings plan, that's all well and good, but who really wants to walk out of the bank with $250,000 in their pocket? That's not what they're interested in.
No.
What they're interested in is a monthly income to support the lifestyle that they choose during retirement.
Certainly, yeah. Well, I think we'll write that down.
Yes, definitely for the next one.
Future podcast episode.
Definitely. So, Glenn, what if I'm in a situation where I need to take a loan for my TSP? Is that possible?
That's a good question, because we just talked about distributions and those being taxable and subject to penalty. However, loans are not. Loans are available through the thrift savings plan, and they're designed to be there to cover emergencies that you don't have any other way of covering. I always tell clients they should have an emergency fund, and that access to your thrift savings plan is really a last-ditch decision. It is, however, there. In addition to a regular loan, which is due within a five-year period after you take it out, and that can be virtually any purpose you choose, there is also a real estate loan that you can take out, and that is payable over a 15-year period. And it's designed for people who wanted a down payment on a home and didn't have access to the money in other ways. And so they have 15 years to repay that. Having said that, keep in mind that if you separate from service or government employment, any time before that loan is paid back, then that becomes due and payable immediately.
Wow,
and
yeah.
Yeah, if it's not, then it will be treated as a distribution and taxes and penalties will apply.
So that's a huge difference between getting a loan through them and then just any other lender.
One of the biggest differences is that, first of all, you really just have to ask them for the loan. You don't really have to qualify for it.
Oh,
the money
wow.
is already there. And the other difference that I looked up this morning, because I wasn't sure what the current rates were, but a loan from your TSP today is charging 1.75%.
Oh wow!
As an interest rate,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, you can't find
that. Can't beat that. Yeah.
But it's important. The caveat to that is, though, is when you pull that money out to fund emergency expenses or whatever you need it for, you lose the chance of that money growing if the market grows. So you're only paying 1.5% back to yourself.
That is correct. You are repaying the interest to yourself.
Right, but if the market grows by 10% a year for the 2 years it took you to pay your loan back, you lose out on that money that you pulled back.
That money is no longer available for the growth.
Right, and then you're also, unfortunately, paying it with dollars that have already been taxed.
That's correct. That is correct.
So a lot to think about if you're going to do that.
You certainly have to understand that it's got to be repaid.
Most certainly. I mean, I would tell anybody considering a TSP loan or running the numbers to honestly, Glenn, give you a call or shoot you an email and look at the ifs, ands, or buts for that option. It may be enticing because of the low interest rates, but there are other maybe uncontemplated expenses that oftentimes come into play.
That's true. And one of those is that you're going to take a reduction in pay because it's going to come out of your check when you go to repay it.
Oh, nobody likes that. Nobody I know.
No.
Anyway, and when they see reductions in pay, they come find me in the finance office and ask a lot of questions. And they're usually not smiling.
You would know that firsthand.
Hey, you know, government service is great. The Wyoming Military Department is great. But sometimes things happen in people's lives and they take employment elsewhere or they leave government service in some way, shape, or form. What happens? For instance, obviously this podcast is going to launch my podcasting career. You know, let's say in the next year or two, I'm a podcast star and I leave government service. What happens to my TSP at that time?
I think you're better at this than I am. But if you do leave government service and you have a thrift savings plan, if you go to an employer that has a 401k that accepts rollovers, you can transfer that money over to the new employer's 401k.
Okay.
So you can do that. That's one option. Another option is that you could go down and find a broker and move it all over into an IRA and purchase mutual funds that way, keeping in mind that if you choose that option, you will probably pay fees when you do that. And then finally, your last option, or at least your primary last option, is to leave it at Thrift Savings Plan. And you can do that. The only difference is you won't be making contributions to it any further. However, in my experience, which is substantial now, over 30 years of working with financial planning and people's money, and actually for 22 years of that in private practice and selling mutual funds, my experience is that Thrift Savings Plan is probably the best retirement savings plan that I have ever encountered. And so leaving it at Thrift Savings Plan, because of the low expenses inside the plan and the lack of any fees to purchase something different, is a pretty good option.
And that's more money in your pocket.
That's exactly
less
right.
Less fees and less transaction fees. That's more money that the member keeps.
That's exactly right. And it is such a good plan and it has performed so well if you're properly invested. I don't see a lot of advantages in moving it.
So I'm so glad that I got this question because I still have money for my previous civilian employer and investment account that I need to, and it was, I believe, yeah, it's a Roth IRA, but this is a good question. So can I transfer other investment accounts into my TSP?
Okay, so you used a couple of terms there that I need to clarify before I can answer the question. But if your money was with a previous employer through a 403B or a Roth 401K, then generally Thrift Savings Plan will accept that money
for
transfer. If it is in a Roth IRA that you individually own at an investment firm or a bank, they will not accept that.
Okay.
But most of the plans that are out there are transferable into Thrift Savings Plan, And in order to do that, you would contact Thrift Savings Plan. They would provide you the paperwork to do that. And once that's completed, they would initiate the transfer.
Perfect. Sounds very simple.
Yeah, thankfully, there's probably, hopefully, lots of resources out there to help you with that big financial decision. Speaking of financial decisions, part of me I'm starting to get sweaty palms just thinking about, my future and my retirement income and what I decide now, 30 years from now, might decide or determine how much money I have in that TSP account. Glenn, what are some pitfalls or what are some common mistakes that you've seen that people commonly make that unfortunately maybe have dramatic effects on their TSP accounts?
You know, the biggest issue that I find is that those accounts are not properly invested. A lot of times I will find very young service members, and they have their money in the G fund, and it's simply not performing very well.
Yeah, the G fund is historically the lowest performance or return.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's a government bond fund. And there's nothing wrong with that fund. It simply is not designed for a long period of time. It is designed for a much shorter period of time if you're planning on taking the money in the next 4 or 5 years. But if you've got anything really over 5 to 10 years, that money does not belong in the G fund. It belongs invested and aggressively invested. In addition to that, the other piece that I sometimes see in the Thrift Savings Plan is that particularly traditional Guard members will contribute a significant amount of their Guard check to Thrift Savings Plan. And that's always a great idea if you can afford to do that. But then it has to be changed when you go on deployment because you're no longer getting a civilian income.
Oh.
And if you're contributing 50% of your pay to Thrift Savings Plan,
yeah,
that's going to be a rude awakening when you get paid during your deployment, because particularly if you've got a family at home that's counting on that check. So you have to be sure that if you do deploy, that you change that allocation, the amount that you're contributing to the Thrift Savings Plan. And then when you return, change it back if that's what you want to do.
And that's pretty simple. You can do that on the individual member can do so on the website or on the eBiz or MyPay.
It's done through MyPay and eBiz.
Quick and simple.
That's correct.
You know, one thing, the piggyback on that, one thing that I've seen quite a bit is newly hired technicians or federal employees not knowing or not understanding the 5% match, that if they contribute 5% of their paycheck, that the government will give them essentially a 300% return on that money and their TSP. And so another pitfall or mistake that I see is people simply don't contribute enough to get that full match, and they're turning their back on free money from the government.
I'm glad you said that, because I thought it was 4%.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change mine to 5 right after this.
No, and you're right. You're leaving money on the table if you are not contributing 5%. And for service members who are in the blended retirement system, the same thing is true. You have to contribute up to 5% of base pay in order to get that match. Now, one of the things that I typically urge traditional guardsmen to do, whether they're Air or Army, is take a look at what 5% of base pay is for a drill check. We're talking about probably $20,
right?
Not a lot of money, and they're matching $20, and that's fine. That's it's certainly better than nothing. But what I would urge traditional guardsmen to do is live on their regular income, mm-hmm, and contribute much more than 5% of their base pay to the Thrift Savings Plan if they're in a position to do that. And the reason for that is because then we get substantial amounts of money compounding over time. And I can run the numbers, but it certainly isn't out of the ballpark For a guardsman to contribute, say, 50% of their pay and end up with over $100,000 in their thrift savings plan, even if they only stayed 10 years. So it's a very significant rate of return.
Right. It could be the difference between Lamborghini money and Ford Taurus money.
Well said. Well spoken.
So say I'm new to the military or new federal employee, and I'm thinking about investing my money, and maybe I'm looking at everything and considering TSP. What are the advantages of the TSP?
Primarily that it can be taken out of your check. You pay the taxes, you don't really see it, and the money goes in on a tax-favored basis. That's the primary advantage. It allows you to set aside money without really thinking about it for long-term planning. It's available, as I talked about earlier, for loans if you need those in the event of an emergency. But again, at some point in your life, you're going to look around and you're going to try to find what your sources of income are going to be. And if you have done something that is relatively painless by contributing to the thrift savings plan, that's the primary advantage of it. And also potentially saving the taxes on all that growth if you're in the Roth IRA part of it.
You know, selfish question. I'm a dual status technician, obviously drill status member on the weekends. And I think we touched on this briefly before, but it's important to point, I have two TSP accounts, like we stated earlier, and it's important to follow up on both of those, because maybe I came in as just a DSU member and I have that allotment set up and I set it and forget it, and that's great. But then I come on board later as a technician, and it's easy that I forget about that account, or I forget about that, and so I'm not contributing enough, or maybe, like you said earlier, it's just going in the G fund. So just want to really hammer home the importance that if you are filling two roles, a drill status member and a technician, get with Glenn, get with HRO, review your files and your documents, and make sure that you are getting that match, that you're abiding by a investment plan or allocation plan that, again, I encourage everybody to get with Glenn and help set that up based on their risk profile and their age and when they want to retire and their goals, and just make sure that you're maximizing both accounts.
I couldn't agree more. As you said, when you come into the technician role, sometimes you forget about that thrift savings plan being there. And as we said earlier, that is money on the table because they will match up to 5% of base pay. And if you're putting that in there, then you're picking up that match. But then you also have to do the follow-up, and that is to go into tsp.gov, and that's the website, is tsp.gov, and make sure that that money is allocated correctly, not only for the money that is there, and that's called an asset transfer to get that allocated correctly, but then there's also a contribution allocation that tells Thrift Savings Plan where you want all the future money to go.
Oh, so those are separate things where I maybe at one point in time said, hey, the money that's in there, I want it to be invested this way, but my future payments could be completely going into different pots of money.
That's exactly right. So there are two buttons there at tsp.gov. The one is to transfer existing assets, existing money that is there. And so if you had an account and all of the money was in the, say, the G fund, mm-hmm. and you wanted to split it up between, say, the C and the S funds, you might choose 50% C and 50% S, and that would take care of the money that is there. But if you don't tell them that you want the future money to go into those funds, it's going to go into the G fund.
Oh.
And that's really a big deal because markets are volatile. And if you want to buy low and sell high, which is the sage advice, mm-hmm. you have to, in fact, buy low. And you can't do that if your money is going into the G fund.
Sure.
It's got to be going into those more volatile funds so that when the market does come down and you get paid, that money then goes into those funds that are going up and down. And when they go back up, at that point, you realize a gain.
I need to go log in and check my accounts.
You also have to do that on both the military and the civilian side.
Always check both.
So there's four separate pieces that you're looking at in order to get that allocated correctly if you're both a technician mm-hmm. and a military member. There are really four buttons that you need to push there.
Wow. So really good food for thought. Like, folks, reach out to Glenn and check your accounts because you don't want to be losing out. Like the captain said, you want to maximize your investment.
One other thing that I would mention is kind of a shortcut. If you are a dual status technician and you have TSP on both the civilian and the military side, if you use the same password for both, then you don't have to be logging in and logging out.
You
can get a drop down, and it'll ask you, once you log in, do you want to look at the military or the civilian? If you're using a separate password and you're in the civilian side, you actually have to log out mm-hmm. and then re-log in to the military side. So just a shortcut, use the same password for both of those sides, and it makes looking at your account much simpler.
Pro tip.
Yeah, very good. So you talked about this earlier, but is there anything more to add about the TSP contributions and how it works?
You know, in terms of the mechanics of the thrift savings plan, no, I think that there's a discussion to be had about risk and volatility, particularly if you're unsure. And the best way to have that discussion is one-on-one. The other piece that I would say is that I think that this fundamentally starts with a good spending plan so that you know how much your monthly expenses are, how much your discretionary expenses are, and then you can make a determination based on good information about how much that you can afford to contribute to the thrift savings plan. Because keep in mind that once that money goes in, it's there. And you can't access it. So we don't want to be over-contributing to it if you're having issues with making your monthly payments for rent and groceries. Those things are rather unforgiving. So having a good budget, a good spending plan up front is going to help you to understand how much you should and can be setting aside into your retirement planning, your thrift savings plan. And also knowing that is going to prevent you from purchasing a bunch of impulse things just because you have the money left over.
Right.
It really does all fit together. What you're trying to do is to create a picture, and what you have is a bunch of pieces of the puzzle. And so a good financial plan is going to fit those puzzle pieces together to create the picture that you want.
Pro tip round two. Glenn, as I researched for this podcast episode and just kind of researched the thrift savings plan in general just for my own edification, one thing that I kept seeing time and time again was the acronym RMD. And I thought I knew my acronyms, 12-year member of the military, loyal, faithful government employee, live in the world of acronyms, but this one caught me off guard. What does RMD stand for, and what does it mean?
I appreciate that question very much because we do live in a world of acronyms, and unfortunately, they interfere with our ability to communicate. Oftentimes, in order to avoid looking ignorant, people won't ask what the acronym means, and I've certainly been in that situation.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand too. Yeah, guilty.
I've decided finally that if I don't know what something means, I ask. But with regard to the thrift savings plan, RMD only applies to the traditional thrift savings plan.
Okay.
Okay. And what it means is required minimum distribution. Okay. So let me review the traditional TSP, and that is where you put the money in, but you do not pay the taxes on it when it goes in. Well, the government at some point wants their taxes. And
yes.
That's why they have
go figure
the required minimum distribution, the RMD.
Mm.
And that begins at age 70 and a half for people who have money on the traditional side of their retirement plan, whether it's a 401k or a thrift savings plan or even an IRA.
Sure.
If that money has not been taxed, at age 70 and a half, the government has some rules and there are some actuarial numbers that are looked at to determine life expectancy and the amount of money that is in the plan, and they do require that money begin to come out of that plan and be taxed at age 70 and a half. Okay, that does not apply to the Roth. So if you have the Roth plan, whether it's TSP, 401k, or IRA, there is no required minimum distribution.
And it's important to, because I'm randomly going through my lexicon of facts about the TSP. Matching contributions, both in the blended retirement plan and the technician plan, those go into the traditional TSP. So
that's
if
correct.
You are receiving matching contributions and you plan on retiring at 70 and a half, RMDs kick in one way or another.
That's correct. And that's also true on the blended retirement system where matching contributions are made to service members. Even if they elect the Roth, their contributions go into the Roth side.
Sure.
As well as the civilian contributions. If you elect the Roth, your contributions go to the Roth side. But the match always goes to the traditional side. So required minimum distributions will affect that at age 70 and a half.
Are those automatic? I'd have to research that. I'm just hoping that there's not a penalty that as a member just forget about it, and hopefully they communicate to you in some way, shape, or form. I just want to be penalized.
Typically, the holding company, the firm that has the money, is going to notify you that RMDs are coming due. However, ultimately, it is your responsibility, and yes, if you don't take them, there are significant penalties.
Okay. So set the Outlook calendar now.
That's probably
for 40
idea.
Years in the future for
at
that.
Age,
okay.
At age 70 and a half, they're going to want you to start taking distributions.
Buy low, sell high, and set calendar.
those distributions are typically calculated by the company that holds the money.
Oh, okay.
So the thrift savings plan will calculate that. Your IRA holder will account that for that.
That's good because I'm not good at math.
So I think I know the answer to this, but Glenn, who do I talk to about setting up my TSP? Is it you?
Well, I would be the obvious answer that and I say that because you can certainly set up your TSP through MyPay or eBiz, and you don't have to talk to me about doing that. You can determine what percentage of your pay you want to go into it. However, by having a conversation with me about it, we laid the framework and the baseline to really make an educated decision about how much should go out and of your check and go into the thrift savings plan. And we could also have a much more in-depth conversation about how those funds should be allocated in thrift savings plan. Because really, again, there are two steps there. You go into MyPay or eBiz or both. You set up the percentage that you want withdrawn from your check to go into thrift savings plan. DFAS is going to take that money out, and they're going to send that over to thrift savings plan. Thrift savings plan is going to say, that's great, we have a new account holder, we'll set up the account, but that money is either going to go into a life cycle fund or it's going to go into the G fund. And so at that point, they're going to snail mail you an account number and a PIN. And that's what you're going to use to log into tsp.gov. And at that point, then you make your account, you make your fund allocations to tell TSP what to do with that money, because otherwise they're going to put it into something fairly conservative.
Well, I want to thank Captain Holscher and Glenn for being here again and sharing your knowledge and also co-hosting with me today.
Yeah,
thank
you. Absolutely. I had a blast. Hopefully there'll be a chance to do so again in the future.
I'm thinking November.
November.
Okay, well, yeah. Podcast listeners, second Outlook reminder.
Yeah, definitely. And remember, again, as always, if you have questions, reach out to Glenn, and his phone number is 307-772-5362, or you can email him at wyomingfinancialcounselor@gmail.com, and we'll include this and links to the TSP site all in the podcast itself where we post it. On the next episode of Cowboy Smart Money, we'll be talking about life insurance. So if you have any questions about life insurance, please email them to yoguard@gmail.com or email the PA distro list, and we can answer your questions right here on the podcast. So we have some very smart people here that can answer your questions. So please feel free to reach out to us or also on our Facebook page at YOGuard. Thank you for listening, and thank you guys for being here, and have a wonderful day.